What's good? I'm Josh Rawlings.
I'm Adrian Cooper.
And welcome to the Colored Commentary Podcast. Today, we'll be discussing three things. Number one, charcoal and other weirdly colored foods.
Number two, deliberate attention-seeking posts on social media.
And number three, our most important, forever reoccurring segment, Wouldn't It Be Nice? A little bit of optimism in this dark world that we live in. Let's get it.
You're listening to Colored Commentary, your weekly biracial body check.
So what's the obsession with millennials and putting weird things in their food? I don't get it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are weird that we put in food, and I think it all depends on preference. Like for me, putting avocado in stuff is weird. I don't like avocado. When I get California rolls, I actually ask for no avocado. And I always, the look you're giving me right now, that's the weird look I usually get.
You're that one guy who, like, when he orders a burger, he's like, can I get it with no bun? Just, you want to be that guy.
Okay, that's a bit serious.
I'm sorry, you're asking for a crucial part of the roll to be not a part. I don't even eat Japanese food anymore, and you're, whatever.
Like, would you say that the pickles and the tomato are an important part of the burger?
Depends on the burger.
Well, I don't get either of those. I don't like either of them. I'm a very picky eater.
I'm sorry, are you four? DW, eat your goddamn vegetables.
I would so be Buster. You know damn well I'm Buster.
That's fine, I get to be Ziggy Marley. I'll sing the theme song.
All right.
Beside the point, we're talking about charcoal and other weirdly colored foods. We had this discussion a couple weeks back when we saw one of those blog TO videos about cookie dough. There's a cookie dough stand in Toronto in the Kensington Market that just recently opened up. You get raw cookie dough and it's not bad for you. I think it's vegan, but there's three different flavors. There's birthday cake, there's chocolate chip, and charcoal. Can you explain to me this fascination with putting in an active ingredient result of fire into food?
So usually the charcoal that they have in the food is made from coconut. So it's actually just burnt coconut. It's activated charcoal that they're putting in this food to make it the like pitch black color that they've got. It's apparently not unhealthy for you as much as I thought it would be.
Because it's a carcinogen, right?
You know, I was always told don't eat burnt food just in general. So charcoal being a result of burnt food, I would think, you know, don't eat this. And now it's a fad to put it in your food. I don't understand it. But there are countless things you can get with it now. Like, it's not just ice cream or cookie dough or, like, the normal stuff you see. We've got hamburger buns. And actually, in IKEA in Japan, oddly enough that you mentioned Japan, you can get what are called ninja dogs, where the hot dog itself is black. And the bun is also black.
Why? I'm 21. I'm not that old man-y, but I'm an old man at heart. That sounds confusing, but I'm an old curmudgeon. I don't get this. Food should be food-colored food. If I eat a tomato, it should be red. If I eat ice cream, it should be the color of what it's depending on the flavor. I don't want black ice cream. I love black people, love black things. But why black ice cream?
That's another thing that I've noticed is that like, I haven't had this stuff. I haven't tried anything charcoal. But my first thing that came to mind when I saw charcoal ice cream, because that was my first impression to it, was what flavor is it? Can you get different flavors and they're all just black? Or does the charcoal ice cream have a specific flavor? Like, does it taste like sorrow and 2006 emos? Like, what does it taste like?
It probably tastes like Stephanie, our good old friend, who is about as emo goes.
Yeah.
She's dark on dark. And Jeremy Logan, way back in the day, he rocked the emo look.
I have never seen Stephanie wear anything other than black.
Yeah, that's right. So from my perspective, this is what confuses me about the whole additional colored food debate. I learned from a great wise man by the name of Jamie Oliver, the more color on your plate is better for you. So why are we replacing color on our plates for shades?
So I think that with the fact that a lot of these charcoal foods have become like social media fodder, people will go to get charcoal ice cream. Like they had it at the CNE, and sitting near that booth, I saw people getting the ice cream, taking like four steps from the booth, and immediately taking a picture of the ice cream. And I think it's just because it's so social media worthy, because it is still weird to people. And also, everybody loves the monochrome aesthetic. Everybody loves having like a white page with all these cool little fancy black items. It's a Tumblr thing. I don't know, man.
Not my ice cream. There's a simple way to do ice cream. The way they've been doing it since like the 50s, man. One side white, one side brown. racial harmony.
Racial harmony in my ice cream.
Like, why are we pushing anything other than racial harmony? Because you're just like, I'm picking black or I'm picking white. You're literally just doing the apartheid of ice cream.
Good point.
Moving on to our next topic.
Oh, you know it's true.
It is true. Moving on to our next topic, we have a lot of people in our lives that are, what's the nice way of saying needy?
So true.
There's a lot of people that really want attention. And some people, in all honesty, some people do deserve attention. There's some people doing great things in the world, changing the world, doing great things. Instagramming your meal, not as much. Now, Instagramming a picture of your ass, if you're not Summer Rae, it's not acceptable. That's just my opinion.
I can't say not acceptable because people are going to jump down my throat about policing bodies and such.
Are we doing phrasing? Because, like, jumping down your throat?
Phrasing. But I will say that it's not appealing. And I, you know what? Give me as much flack as you want for this. I think, like, a little bit less of you as a person if I go onto your social media and it's just polluted with semi-nude pictures and all that stuff. Because I always view it as I view it kind of from a hiring standpoint, even though I'm never hiring anybody.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this isn't professional. If somebody who wanted to hire you found your Instagram, you would be so, like, your resume could not get shredded fast enough.
Yeah, it would be like Curry from, like, the half court line. Just like, easy swish.
Easy swish. Your resume is in the bin. No chance of you getting hired.
I see what you mean like that, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier, because it's kind of been like a hot topic between the two of us. We're very big proponents of the photos that we enjoy.
I love the female body.
Who doesn't? It's much better than the male. But then, yeah. But then there comes to another side where it's like, there's a difference between sharing this between your significant other or your ting or whatever the hell you are.
Whatever your arrangement is.
Whatever. And sharing it to the world. I don't really think people seem to grasp it. I feel like we live in this world where you need to share everything. Like, hot sauce hurts. That's all I'll say.
But you posted that to a very small group of people. That was like our friend group that you sent those snaps to. You didn't send that out on social media, even though you could have, and it would have been just as funny.
Yeah. You might have waited for the World Star, because that was pretty funny.
You still kept it within the group.
For reference, we all love hot ones, so we didn't buy, but our colleague Stephanie bought us a wonderful bottle of Blair's Mega Death Sauce, and I took 4 spoonfuls, and oh boy, that's all I'm gonna say.
You did not fare well.
I did pretty good until the third spoonful, and that's when I was struggling.
I was doing well until the third spoonful.
Most people are like, maybe I should stop at 1. I'm like, I'll stop at 6.
And you didn't even make it to 6.
I didn't make it to 6.
But it's a good thing you didn't.
Like, I shared that between a group. Like, I get that. I don't personally understand when, sure, your Twitter account can be locked. Like, I understand that Snapchat, some of the things I've sent, some of the things I've gotten, they have that forever. I don't think people seem to understand that. Like, you know what? It's on your phone. Some dude in China, who's probably my cousin, can probably get access to those same photos. Like, I think people really underestimate the level of privacy we don't have. And the fact that, like, I gotta broadcast it to everyone. I'm sorry, body positivity and all that, like, great. If you thick with 2 C's, show it off. If you're not thick with 2 C's, by all means, I don't really care. But, like, there's a line between body positive and just being like, I need attention, please, daddy.
You can, oh, wow, that's going into a deep well that I don't have enough rope for. But, basically, I'm gonna agree with you on that.
Phrasing? Rope? Phrasing?
Oh, no, that's soft.
Well, I'm not gonna call it phrasing. It should be soft, because otherwise it's just, you'll leave marks.
Lacerations. That's just terrible. It looks like a murder happened. Either way. What I had to bring up was actually a very niche type of thirst trap.
Okay.
Which I have dubbed the breakup photo shoot. I personally know somebody who has done it.
I've experienced this as well.
Where you have a breakup, men, this doesn't really apply to. Like, I guess, I actually, no, that's not fair. I have known guys who have broken up with somebody, mm-hmm. had like 3 months of really good gym progress, and then shown it off when like you wouldn't even have thought of that. But you can kind of, you don't know whether you can attribute that to the breakup or the gym progress. I know certain girls, certain women, who they broke up with somebody day after or day of, posted like a lingerie pic and even alluded to the breakup in the description of the photo. This is mostly on Instagram. That's where I tend to dwell.
Oh, like ass on the sink sort of thing.
The ass on the sink picture is a whole other ball game that I think deserves its own segment some other day.
We'll talk about it next week.
But that's another type of, you know, attention-seeking post. I'm doing air quotes. Attention-seeking post that...
I couldn't really tell. That's an attention-seeking post.
Well, listen, don't SpongeBob chicken meme me.
Never.
I personally... That one, I'm a little bit more okay with, and I'm biased because it's worked out in my favor. I've slid in some DMs, which I guess was the point of them posting it.
I don't think it is, though. I think the point of that photo, depending on the nature, because we're going back to the whole, you know, the photo shoot, breakup photo shoot.
Yeah.
Depending on the nature of the breakup, it's a matter of two things. One, I'm doing better than you. Look at how great I am. Mm-hmm. And two, I think I can get that attention. I don't think it's ever an open invitation for DMs, depending on two things again. So I'm the rule of twos.
It worked in my favor.
Captions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it. Emojis.
Oh, that's very fair.
You can tell 100% the difference between someone who's good to go.
Or like angry about the breakup and is doing this for just pure spite and anger and hatred and yeah.
Or just pretending to have something that they really don't have.
Like confidence.
Or happiness.
Oh. Ouch. Too close to home.
A little bit.
You know what? The last type of attention-seeking post is one that doesn't involve pictures at all 9 times out of 10. It is usually reserved for Facebook or Snapchat stories, and that is the don't talk to me or the I'm so mad right now, no one message.
Oh, yeah.
Those posts mm-hmm. are the epitome of attention-seeking because you can say with the thirst trap where it's just body positivity. You can say with the post-breakup, it's a coping mechanism. They may not be asking for somebody to jump in their DMs, but posting, oh my God, I'm so mad right now. Unless you like hash, like people with Sean Spicer at the Emmys, they were like, I'm so mad right now, hashtag Sean Spicer at the Emmys. Okay, you're mad about that. That's a message.
Or Trump cutting transgender rights, or Trump. Oh, we made a no Trump rule. I forgot. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Bad Josh.
Sorry. We'll just
Where's my spray bottle?
We'll censor all that.
So, I think that with these ones, with these "don't talk to me" or like "I'm so mad right now" posts, you cannot mask that at all. That is attention seeking. You are hoping that you get a ton of comments that are just like, Oh, like, what's wrong, sweetie? Or, oh, what's happening?
Or a hey, big head.
Oh, God. Like, I'll also lump in with these, the out of the blue men are trash tweets or women ain't shit tweets. Because those are asking for somebody who, you know, they think you're having trouble with your girlfriend or boyfriend. They kind of want to jump in the DMs and be like, oh, what'd he do?
See, that's the tough one. Because you know that for sure, like the don't talk to me. That's evident. That's just being like, that's someone reaching.
That's the bar.
Well, that to me is indicative of someone who doesn't have enough close friends. So they have to pretend that they don't need help so that they can actually receive their help.
Is that them kind of putting out like fishing lines to being like, somebody help me cope with this?
Depending on the person, yes. I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so depending
like
on the person.
Cry for help?
No, I don't think it's ever a cry for help. It's just a cry for attention, depending on the severity of it,
That's
really.
That's fair, because a lot of these people that I've seen post these, like, I was a very nice person for a while, and I would go and I'd be like, oh my God, what's going on? And they'd be like, I said I didn't want to talk about it. And I don't know whether that's because I'm the wrong person to message them about it, or whether it was because they legitimately didn't want to talk about it, but either way, you're doing it wrong. Don't say no one message.
I also think that's grammatically incorrect, isn't it?
I'm so mad right now, no one message. Yeah, because there should be a...
Message me.
Yeah.
Can you not message me or something like that?
Like, no one message me?
We are really the type of people to go into the grammar over this.
The grammar of attention-seeking posts.
But here's the thing. So with the other ones that you were talking about, those men are trash. or like women are stupid, that sort of thing.
I don't agree with either, by the way.
No, not the women one, the men one. I'd say general consensus: 8 out of 10 dudes are trash.
At something, like in some context.
Yeah. No, like we're not saying in general.
I'd say 3 out of 10 are trash 90% of the time. 8 out of 10 being bad, like they have their really bad moments. Sure. But that's people. We're all human.
I was just going to say they all rush Delta Figma Psi or something like that.
Is that the 3 out of 10? You're just trashing all fraternities?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't need to pay for friends.
Oh, that's a shot that we are not going into right now.
Beside the point, I think depending on the nature, everyone can have a bad day. Like, you know, depending on the nature of their day and how it's gone, some people will be like, no, men are trash. Like, if you get catcalled, we don't get I've been catcalled. But, like, for women, it's different being catcalled than being catcalled by a man being catcalled. So I can see where you could have those men are trash. But, like, I think when a dude tweets women are trash, it's an indicative sign of two things. Lack of self-confidence. I'm really going back and forth with this two things thing. Lack of self-confidence because you probably went out to a bar, tried to chat with some girls, you know, tried your best Playboy impression and got absolutely stonewalled and didn't recognize the fact that that's part of the process. You got to be like Joel Embiid. You got to trust the process. The second thing, those kind of people that tweet that sort of thing, I think it shows loneliness. Like, you're so lonely that you have to say something so desperately far right as opposed to what's accepted on the far left. That once you kind of hit this middle gray area where you're like, I want to push the boundaries, someone's bound to be like, who's this guy? Next question.
Fuck you! Next question! Yeah, when I see the women are trashed, it's funny that you mentioned it the first thing, like the going out to the club and getting rejected. Because when I see like the women are trash thing, I actually know somebody where he asked a girl for, let's just say, explicit pictures. She turned him down. This was before Snapchat. This was on Facebook. She turned him down, sent the screenshot of their conversation to her, all of her female friends, and her female friends just like roasted this guy about it. Mm. And he put on Facebook like half an hour later, he's like, man, women are trash. Mm. It's like, nah, dude, you tried covert ops and you got caught with your pants down. Like, you messed up.
Metaphorically and literally.
Yeah.
And figuratively.
I don't know if he sent one first, but if he did, rookie mistake.
Oh, absolutely.
Rookie mistake.
Never, never.
If there's one thing that my super, super social justice warrior ex-girlfriend will love me for saying, men never send unsolicited
junk pics,
genitalia pictures, because it never turns out well. You have a pre-existing arrangement with that person. Like, if that's like your wife.
Or if you just want to put googly eyes on it, by all means. That just adds to the
humor.
That's
funny. That's a meme at that point.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I was just about to say feel free. Don't do that.
No one wants to see a trouser snake with eyes.
Also, what if they screenshot it? Like, we have Snapchat now, but what if they screenshot it? Sure, you know that they screenshotted it, and some people are nefarious. They have those apps. You don't know. But you know if they screenshotted it? Whoop-de-doo. You don't know if they're going to share it. You don't know who they're going to show that to.
That's why when you ever do a risk, that's why I think Snap is like the best way. If you're going to do a risky text, Snap. Because you know if they see it. You know. You can't hide it. You can't be like, oh, I didn't see it. I went to bed last night. It's like, you know it was coming.
Also,
you saw the message. You saw the DM. You wanted to respond, but you didn't.
But what I will say is that if you're going to send the riskiest of the risky, not even just Snapchat, send it through Picture. Because they have to screenshot the picture to save it. You can even just like press the phone against your leg, black screen. Everybody knows what that is. But what you don't do is you don't send it through chat. Because if you send it through chat, they can still save it. And then, sure, they may not screenshot it, but they're walking around. They have their phone at all times. If their girlfriend is talking about, like, you know, men are trash, and she goes, oh my god, like, yeah, of course, look at this, and she shows your risky text, dude, you just got exposed and you don't even know if you did.
Man up. I'm sorry.
Own it.
Own up to it.
If you're gonna send a risky text and you're worried about it, send it through the picture. If you're gonna send a risky text and you don't care who views it, text it to them. Like, straight up, phone text.
Mm.
iMessage, if you got it.
Whoa. Well, you just insulted like half of the Android users.
Android users know what's good.
Not much. Still here. All right, we're rounding out to the most important segment of them all. Wouldn't it be nice?
We've got a few things that we've been thinking about recently.
We got to explain why wouldn't it be nice.
We do have to explain why we're doing it. Basically, there is so much negativity in the world today. We're Canadian.
That's even worse.
You know what? You know, sometimes I feel our negativity is filtered. I feel it's limited. Brita water filter type things.
Oh, you can filter vodka through Brita filters and makes it more potent.
That is so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Either way, I feel we see the world through a lens because a lot of this negativity doesn't happen in our own country unless you live where we live in Brampton, Ontario, Canada, in which case...
You're with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, my God.
You're with Sharia law.
If you've ever heard of Jagmeet Singh and that angry small white woman yelling at him about the Muslim Brotherhood, that happened in Brampton. We're known for something now, other than Russell Peters and Alessia Cara.
Tory Lanez, Tristan Thompson, Wonder Girl.
Alan Thicke? Yes, Alan Thicke.
Robin Thicke, by proxy? I guess.
Either way, we get that negativity filtered out. We don't have to deal with all the stuff in the U.S. We don't have to deal with all the stuff in Europe with Brexit and all that. And, you know, maybe we do. We got relatives.
Nonetheless, we got to focus on the important things in life. Things that, you know what? What could we do in life to just improve it? Wouldn't it be nice if we just added these little things here and there? We got a couple of our own. Wouldn't it be nice? We'll go back and forth and just get it started. If there were more sugar mamas in the world, I'm just saying.
Oh, that would be.
I'm just saying, there's tons of sugar daddies. There's websites for sugar daddies to meet up with sugar girls, I think it was the term.
Sugar babies is the term. Don't ask me how I know.
What up, sugar mamas? It's time.
Where are you at?
I'm a young, broke bachelor. I'm looking for love.
We are looking to get Josh hooked up with a sugar mama. That is our one-armed man, Morty. that's our gimmick.
That's our Szechuan sauce.
That is our Szechuan sauce that we have to acquire one day.
But wouldn't it be nice if there were more sugar mamas?
I think it would be. Here's my thing. Wouldn't it be nice if gym memberships weren't so damn expensive?
Don't even. I'm switching gym. I'm in the process of switching gyms.
You're already switching gyms.
To get to Adrian's gym.
So we can work out together.
Oh, it's
matching
awful.
Leggings.
Yeah, they'll both be pink.
Yep. Hot pink.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Leg warmers on Fridays. Catch us around. But yeah, like I'm paying 32 Canadian dollars, which I don't know, what, 16 American dollars? Our money is really Monopoly money now. It's not only colorful, but it's also worth nothing.
I think it's like 77 cents American. It's like nothing.
In what world is a dollar equal to 77 cents?
A huge world.
The answer is Canada.
A huge world.
The answer is Canada.
Apparently.
Wouldn't it be nice if gym memberships weren't so damn expensive?
Wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have to ask for explicit pictures?
If they just kind of showed up?
Yeah, they're just like, hey, what's up?
I know that there's a stigma around paying for anything sexual. Like, there's less of a stigma about strip clubs. And I think the least amount of stigma for paying for something sexual is strip clubs, and the most amount of stigma for paying something sexual is, like, legitimate prostitution.
Escorts.
Oh, yeah, because that's also dating. You're paying for a date and then sex. Like, you can't just pay for one or the other.
That's correct.
I will also throw, in my opinion, paying for cuddling is at the top, because that's a different level of depression for me.
That's different, though. I think that depends on culture. Like... Japan is, that's huge in Japan.
I guess you can't call it sexual as well.
Yeah.
It's not explicitly sexual.
No, you can cuddle with someone. That's just an emotional experience.
I've cuddled with some close friends.
Oh, yeah. We've spooned.
We've cuddled. We've spooned.
We're not talking about who was what position. Wouldn't it be nice if people didn't think the earth was flat?
I'm looking at you, B.O.B. and Kyrie Irving.
We can't even talk illy of Kyrie because he's on my team now.
Because he's on your team now. He's on Boston now.
There's been reports that two Celtics players, young ones, Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, have suddenly decided that, you know what? Maybe the earth is flat. And I was having a debate with one of my colleagues at work.
Is Kyrie polluting the young lions of the Boston Celtics?
I was having a conversation with my colleague at work, and he looked at me. It's a great man. Great man. He looked at me and he said, man, I don't even know what the world's going to anymore.
That's kind of ambiguous, though.
Nah, because he knows what he's talking about. Because the young people in probably the most largest culturally important sport other than football,
No, you're completely omitting football. Like,
I'm not. We're not talking about the other side of the pond.
Oh, you're talking about like North American.
Talking about NA. When you have people who are super young that are looking up to these people as gods, because let's be real, have you seen Kyrie Irving play basketball? That guy's really good at basketball.
Yeah, and when people idolize him to a level more than other celebrities.
To the point where I get cracking a joke, being like, oh yeah, the earth's flat. Like, and they know he's kidding. Kyrie seems like a smart guy. So it confuses me when I'm getting reports out of the Celtics saying that now two people on the team think that the earth is flat.
Three in total.
But now, as a result, think about the young kids. The young kids who look up to these people as gods. As I've said, like, they're going to start thinking we're going to get a new era of climate change deniers, of flat earthers, and 9/11 truthers. But you see what I mean?
Here's my big thing is that I understand, because I come from a family where it's very split between like Christian but non-religious and like devout Christian and straight up atheist. And I feel that with the flat earth movement, we're going to go, like us as 20-year-olds are going to go through the same type of annoyance and just hatred that the older generation went through when everybody who was religious, all of a sudden they started having kids and those kids were atheists, where it's like, we're going to have to deal with explaining things that we know is fact to people that are going to question our every motif. They're going to be like, yeah, but how do you know? Have you been to space? People who say the moon landing was faked.
There's science! I hate that argument. I hate not the moon landing. The moon was created by robots.
But people who say the moon landing was fake could also be like, well, we've never actually been to space.
Like, I'm sorry. Excuse me, SpongeBob. There's science for a reason. Like, Bill Nye, man! Why? Bill Nye came back, and the world still hasn't learned anything.
His show is horrible, and I think that's why.
Yeah. But there's no, like, that's probably what the issue is. I don't think there's enough scientific impact in pop culture other than, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Let's be real.
Wonderful man.
It's because he's a black astrophysicist.
It really is, but I think it's also because he's so well-spoken.
And he gets memed to hell. Other than that, I can't think of any other scientist off the top of my head, which is really sad, other than, like, Suzuki's not a scientist.
I'm going to sound very insensitive here. Has Carl Sagan passed away?
No, I don't think so.
Well, then Carl Sagan's the other one I think of, because Neil deGrasse Tyson took over Cosmos. Like, he did a season of Cosmos, and I was like, Cosmos, where have I heard that before? Carl Sagan was the original host of Cosmos. So it's funny, two of the most well-known, like, well-accredited scientists. Bill Nye is more seen as, like, a children's entertainer.
But it's Bill Nye is the difference between people becoming scientists and people becoming arts majors. You know what I mean? Like,
he's the mixture of both.
No, yes and no. Like, I feel like Bill Nye pushed a lot of kids into the sciences, where it's, let's be real, science is not a sexy thing.
No, it's not.
It's not. There's nothing sexy.
It's interesting, but it's not, like, super appealing. Like, if you're not going to get fortune and fame out of science.
I'm sorry, you're not going to pop a chub after seeing a scientist. Let's be real. You're not.
That's fair.
You're not. They're going to get the money. They'll get the fame, whether it's important fame or not. There's more lucrativeness in going into the arts where you can be a liberal arts major. If you make it big, like if you become a YouTube star, an Instagram model.
I'm not advising people to go into liberal arts because I think you won't have a job.
We're radio broadcasting majors.
That's not liberal art. Liberal arts is literally when you go into a field where it's just like general arts and sciences. Like, that's sorry, right. Rachel, you're not getting a job with your general arts and science diploma.
Final, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if...
Why do I get the final wouldn't it be nice? I only got one.
God, you're such a baby.
Wouldn't it be nice if sneakers weren't so expensive? Yes, all of my wouldn't it be nices are related to money. I'm a broke college student. Deal with it.
Wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have to pay 240 Canadian for a pair of, you know, Ultra Boost sneakers that are bricks? That are GR bricks that no one's going to care about.
Like the hamburger Ultra Boosts?
Yep.
Like those 3.0s, they were like burgundy. They looked like hamburger meat. These shoes were not attractive at all.
Sold out immediately.
No. They sat at Champs.
At Champs, but at Foot Locker.
Oh, yeah. Because just Ultra Boost type. I'm very lucky. I got these new snazzy blue shoes, these Paul George shoes, these PG1s. And they were only like $160 Canadian. But even then, if you were to tell 10-year-old me that I'd be paying $160 for shoes, I'd probably be 10-year-old me being like, oh, when am I getting married? Like, those are expensive dress shoes.
You'd be talking to your little me. He's like,
don't count on it. Don't ever count on it. Oh my God, please no. Sorry, Sophia.
The problem I have with the price of sneakers, it's a small cost to pay for manufacturing. Because we don't know what the costs are of manufacturing.
The markup. Oh, that's what it is.
It really is. Because I don't know the difference between how much it's going to cost me to buy a pair of Fufu Jordans, which I have, and I know how much they cost, and the difference between buying retail. Honestly, it's the exact same material, exact same factories, exact same shit. Gonna say it. Don't really care. Why does it cost more for me to buy retail?
That's a discussion for another day, though. We can go really deep into shoes. We might have an episode on shoes. That's something we're both very passionate about.
That it is. And thick women.
Okay, so we have an episode for sneakers lined up and an episode for thick women lined up. Do you want to add anything else to the docket, Josh?
Is this a black podcast?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Episode one, that was a good way to...
Good way to end off episode one with a little bit of optimism. I think we'll do this every time.
I think so. Forever, ever? Forever, ever?
Well, you already said we would, so, you know, we got to stick to it now.
You know that forever, ever,
forever never seems that long until you're grown.
And then the day-by-day rulers have been known.
Can't be too long.
Oh. Miss Jackson, I wish I could.
Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could. For a fan of classic hip-hop...
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I am for eels.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. I am several fish and not a guy. That's it.
Thank you so much for listening. I'm Josh.
I'm Adrian.
That rounds out the Colored Commentary podcast for this week. New episodes every Sunday. And look at our website, coloredcommentary.com, for new blogs every Wednesday and Friday?
Yep.
Nice. Any words of advice?
Stay woke.
Eat ass. Why not both?
At the same damn time.
Thanks for listening to Colored Commentary. New episodes release every Sunday on coloredcommentary.com.